start well. Well, have you been to the Brain Scenario before? Is this first? Or
actually, this is my first time out here, and I'm loving it so far. I got in late last night and didn't get a chance to see everything. It was pitch black, but you know, coming from Arizona desert, it was like 92 degrees when I jumped on the plane. So I woke up this morning, and it's beautiful. I wish I had more time to stay. So.
Well, it changed like that one day for us last week.
That's
it,
what I heard.
It went down like 22 degrees in 30 minutes. It
Man.
Was crazy.
And I heard you guys, it might be snowing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
that's
tomorrow night
what we're afraid of.
So you might wanna, I hope you're...
I'm glad I'm getting out just before the snow. I'll come back and I'm warmed up again. So.
So what, you know, just talk about a little bit about your, you know, what you like to tell these kids and the impact that you can have with them.
Well, you know, I've just been blessed throughout my life. I was born missing my leg, and a lot of people initially meeting me, they just felt sorry for me and saw it as a challenge I'd never overcome. And you know, that's something that I like to share in my message, is that we all have challenges. You know, we all have something that we have to overcome, something we have to wrestle with, is what I like to say. Mm-hmm. You know, but that doesn't have to prevent you from being unstoppable, you know, from reaching your dreams, from grinding out and getting to the mountaintop. And so that's the message I like to share, is just believe in your God-given abilities and that there is a plan for everyone. You know, you just got to have the faith and be willing to fight through some tough times.
How long did it take you to get to that point where you were accepting and realizing that there was a plan, there was a reason for all this? I'm sure when you started out, it was tough to see that.
It definitely was, and you know, especially starting school. You know, when I first started going to school, I just remember the first day was always the hardest for me. You know, just interacting with kids who'd never seen me before, having them stare and ask me questions, sometimes being teased, and so there was quite a bit of time I just go home just broken. You know, but my mom, she would always tell me that there was a plan for me, and you know, I didn't really start to see that plan until actually I was around 14 years old when I got into wrestling. And you know, I remember stepping on the mat for the first time, and you know, I came home bloodied and bruised, but for some reason I felt like I had finally found the purpose for my life. You know, I had finally found the calling, and at that point I just thought it was wrestling. I didn't know there'd be so much more afterwards that I'd be blessed with, but you know, I finally felt like that was my purpose, you know, was to wrestle. So
let's talk a little bit about wrestling. You know, I wrestled from the time I was in first grade through high school, and Coach used to talk to us a lot about it's all leverage and balance. Mm-hmm. Being one leg and trying to balance, that can't be easy.
that was the toughest thing for me, just the balance issue. You know, just trying to figure out how to pretty much compensate for my missing leg and try to use my arms in different ways. And, you know, I was blessed with some great coaches along the way who really, they took the time to work with me when a lot of coaches wouldn't have, I don't think. You know, my coaches from the very beginning, they treated me like I was already a state champion or a national champion. You know, they were in there in the summer times with me. We came up with a wrestling style from scratch that no one had ever seen before. And what my coach used to tell me, he said, we're going to focus on your strengths and camouflage your weaknesses. It's like, everybody's looking at your weaknesses. Everyone's mm-hmm. looking at what you can't do. He's like, we're going to put you in situations where you can win. We're going to think positively and keep building on that. And, you know, little by little over time, it was kind of funny because it turned into something that was hard and people saw as a disadvantage into something that people saw as an advantage after a while. So,
and in some ways, I mean, the people that you wrestled against, I'm sure they had never wrestled against a person with one leg, so they didn't know how to attack it as well. Is that fair to say?
Exactly, and that's one of the things that I started to see it as an advantage, because you know, if I have a tall opponent or if I have a short, stocky guy, I can train with my partners in the wrestling room. You know, I can prepare for that body type, but there's no one in their wrestling room that could mimic my style. You know, that missing leg, how I was able to move. And so after a while, that really started to kind of, I guess, kind of give me some confidence. Just, mm-hmm. you know, knowing in the back of my mind, they can't prepare for me. You know, they don't know what I'm capable of until it's too late and I'm already doing it. So that was something I really liked.
You've stayed involved since your last days on the mat. What are the biggest changes you've seen in the sport?
Oh, you know, the rule changes, it's making the sport more exciting, a lot more action now, it's promoting more point scoring, but also just how much the sport's evolved and it's so inclusive, you know, because it's not just individuals missing legs or arms, but it's women wrestling now. And I have quite a few of my friends who are competing and trying to make the U.S. women's team coming up. And so it's just neat to see a sport that can be like that, can bring everybody in and say, doesn't matter gender, doesn't matter what you have, you know, you just go out there with your God-given abilities and you find a way to win. You know, you find a way to make it work, and that's what initially drew me to the sport as well. Yeah. Just seeing I can do this despite missing a leg. So
one of the big changes I saw recently is with the addition of the 4-point near fall.
I love that.
What's the reason?
I think it's just to promote more point scoring, more action. You know, there's a lot of point scoring on the feet. And I think just with all the scrambling on the mat stuff that started going on, we started seeing it as a big opportunity to promote more point scoring on the mat. And with the 4-point near fall, more guys are wrestling on the mat. More guys are taking these crazy opportunities, you know, to try to score on the ground. And that's something I wish would have been implemented when I was in college.
It gives a grappler a little more.
Exactly. It's more incentive, you know. But just things like that, the scrambling, the 4-point rule, and it's making wrestling more exciting for the non-everyday viewer to be able to see and just kind of understand what's going on. So,
was there ever a point where you got to or were tempted to, you know, kind of tell your detractors or the people that didn't believe in you or said you couldn't do it and all this, but kind of like, look at me, look at what I did. You were wrong. Ever tempted to be like that and say that?
Honestly, no. You know, for me, when I first started, it was hard for me, just having all those people doubting me. But I think it was a blessing in a way, because it kind of gave me, I don't know if chip on my shoulder is the right word, but it just kind of gave me extra motivation. You know, during those days in the wrestling room when I was getting frustrated and you know, I wasn't seeing things progress as fast as I wanted them to, I think about quitting, I think about just kind of taking it easy, and I think, you know, if I did that, I was proving all those people right who said I didn't have what it took, you know. And so once I got on the top of the podium and I got my goal, I didn't feel like I needed to say anything else. You know, I felt like I let my actions speak for themselves, and I was just going to walk away like a true champion. You know, just leave it at that. So.
Senior year national championship match, time's counting down. You've got it. You know what's there. What's that last 5-10 seconds like?
Man, I remember, like, my face was smashed in the mat, and it was the end of a 3-day tournament. You know, I've been cutting weight every single day, and my everything's just beat up. But I just remember with the final 10 seconds, underneath there, I was just smiling the whole time. You know, I was just thinking, 9 years of training, and it's about to come true. You know, that this dream is finally coming true. And, you know, when they hit that buzzer, when the whistle blew, and I still got the emotions coming up. It was, you know, it was like taking a breath for the first time, is the way I describe it. You know, it's like just the view and just the fans and everything. I finally felt like, I guess that, you know, I achieved my goal. You know, I achieved my goal of showing people anything's possible. You know, it doesn't matter what you're lacking. If you set your mind to something, you can do it. And, you know, I felt like the pressure was gone at that moment. So,
any temptation to continue internationally after that?
I thought about it for quite a bit, actually. You know, just continuing to compete and possibly going for the Olympics. But when I first started wrestling was my passion. You know, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be a national champion. But as I went through my career and just really just started to grow and mature, I found that, you know, there are a lot of people in my life who helped me to reach my goal, and they really stepped up in critical times. And, you know, I started to think about that, and I just started to think how awesome that would be to help someone else in the same way, you know. And so my passion, it shifted from not just wrestling and competing and winning to being able to help others out like that, you know, being able to be a motivator and help people over a speed bump in their life if I could. And as I started looking more about my competition, I felt like, you know, wrestling, it's a tough sport, it's a grind, and the more I looked at the speaking and doing that, the more my heart was going that way. And I felt like I didn't want to continue competing if my heart wasn't in wrestling anymore. And I still love the sport, but, you know, now my passion is speaking and trying to help motivate and give back now. So,
talk about a little bit about your involvement with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and what it means to you.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I mean, just what athletes stand for on their campuses, I mean, high school, colleges alike, they're the leaders, you know, they're the ones people look to. And so just to have something positive like the FCA, you know, to be able to impact those athletes and show them a positive way to live, you know, to show them it's important to have not just, you know, the academics and the athletics, but also just that personal relationship, you know, with Jesus and being able to just show what it means to be a good person, a genuine person. That's what I love about it, you know, because for me, I grew up and my stepdad, even though I loved him, he wasn't always the best role model for me. And so I was constantly looking outside for individuals I wanted to be like, people I could learn from. And, you know, for me, FCA was something, I mean, it's perfect for that. It's perfect for not only, you know, the individuals who are missing, you know, missing things, but also the ones who think they have everything, because then they finally see, I don't have everything. You know, I don't have it all figured out. There's still so many ways I can improve in my faith and everywhere else. And so that's what I like about FCA, is that it just, it shows individuals, you know, just because you're an athlete, you know, it's not time to get comfortable here. You know, there's so much more that you have to work and improve on and give back. And you know, that's what I'm all about. So I'm just honored to be here tonight.
Is that, do you find that some of those people who think they have it all and think they've got it all together are oftentimes the ones that do need the most help?
I think so, honestly, because, I mean, especially athletes, you look at them from outside and people think, oh, they got it all. You know, they got the popularity, they're a great athlete, everybody loves them, but sometimes they're not happy. You know, sometimes, a lot of the times, they're still unsatisfied. They feel like there's something missing still. And I think that's what FCA helps to bring out. It helps to show them the missing piece, you know, that relationship with God. And it's not just about you. You know, it's not just about being a good athlete and being a good wrestler or whatever. That's going to fade. You know, the medals are going to go away. It's about, you know, something more than that. And you know, that's something I've learned along my journey, and that's something that FCA continues to preach. And I think that's something more than ever we need with youth these days, you know, with all the craziness going on. So
we'll go back there. Let's go back to collegiate wrestling for a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think the next step in helping grow is? I think the way that they've moved around the national championships has helped. You've seen excitement in, whether it's in St. Louis, Kansas, Tulsa, wherever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Expand where that, there's the top of the heap. For the most part, we know one of 5-6 schools will probably be, if not win the national championship. Mm-hmm. What do you think they have to do to expand that where maybe it's more wide open, 20 schools are gonna have a chance at this thing?
I think it's going to be tough for a while just because the number of programs, I think there's been a couple that have been added over the last couple of years, but for the most part, there's a lot of programs that continue to be dropped. And so I think that's the first thing that does need to be addressed. You know, they need to keep these programs around, become self-endowed, and also women's wrestling continues to grow. And so I think that's going to be a huge help in keeping wrestling alive and continuing to grow it, is adding women's wrestling to the college ranks. You know, because I actually had a teammate who's a female wrestler, Kelsey Campbell, and she was an Olympian, and you know, she was on the team competing with us, and I mean, and she was tough. You know, and there's so many other you know, young women coming up wrestling that they need a spot to land, just like the guys. You know, and so I think that's the next step in helping us to grow, but also just trying to get more regular season wrestling mm-hmm. on TV. I cover the Pac-12 network, and on ESPN, they do a great job of covering the national tournament every year. We see the viewership climb every year for nationals, but I think we need more regular season. You know, I think that way we can catch those people who are, you know, just one Wednesday night, Thursday night, decide to flick on ESPN, see what's on.
Some wrestling. Duels and stuff. Right.
Exactly. See some cool duels and just help promote the sport a little bit more, because there's so much to wrestling. You know, it's such a great great tool and for men and women, but more people need to be aware of it. You know, and I think that's just the biggest thing, is just getting the awareness out about the sport and what it is.
That's good. Yep. Yeah. Hey, thank you, man.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate your time. All
right. Thank you.
Thank you.